glad that you have come. Elated that you're here today. As well as all of our members. We're glad that they're here today. Good morning to serve God. And also a good morning as our country celebrates our mothers. That's as well. Go ahead, if you want to, take out your songbook. You can see what the songs are posted. Jim will be leading us this morning. 365 is the first song. Opening prayer. Mark Cason will be leading us in that. And Tony and James will be taking care of the Lord's table. Preacher today, unless for some reason we have someone else doing it, it's Chuck. And closing prayer will be Dan. We also want to continue to remember all those wonderful works that are going on right now, the Bible classes that are occurring Sunday morning, television show that's going on, I think, right now, and a radio program later this afternoon, many things on all of that. Another Bible correspondence course, I think, went out this week, and that's another one. Also, a couple of new addresses and names to the bulletin list of several things that are going on. I'm so excited about that. Do you want to remember the ladies' class? I believe that tomorrow at 7 in the Youth House. So make sure you know about that. Tomorrow, ladies' class at 7 o'clock. And continue to be praying about the spreading of the gospel as well as building project that's doing well with that, and our prayers are, I believe, are being answered in that. On that behalf, also want to make mention that this Wednesday night we will not be able to use the library. We're still going to be able to use the building, which is not here in the media center. So when you come in, you want to look and see where the signs are located, whether they're at the front of the building, like near the office, or the cafeteria, or whether they're back here by the gym. So pay attention to the sign on Wednesday evening. Remember that. That's all the announcements. Well, right now, let's go ahead and do a God's. Father, through your Son, we come before your suggestion throne at this time. We're thankful for the avenue of prayer. We're thankful for the gift of your Son, truly being high priest forever, one that we can come through to be able to see you and talk to you. We can see you in thy word, to be able to read thy word. For the Holy Spirit and that gift and that relationship that we're able to have, and that we're able to get inside thy word and be able to speak to you two blessings that you have given to us, and we're thankful for them. We're thankful for the plan of salvation. Thankful for this opportunity to be able to come together and to worship you. So Father, we pray this morning that we truly will worship you in spirit and in truth. Paying our attention, our mind and hearts will be focused upon you, upon your love, upon the gift of your Son, that we will truly worship you this very hour. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for this blessing. Be with us, guard us, and guide us.
First only number 365, Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus definitely loved us. He died for us. Loving our soul. Sing all four verses of 365.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is, fill the storms of life this hand.
136. The joke is easy. We'll sing the first, second, third, and fifth verses. We'll omit the fourth verse. And if we sing all the verses of Brother Mark Case, the Lincoln Center, I'll sing one of the three.
I found my Lord, and He is mine. He won me by His love. I found it so, His servant.
song and think about the words of this before the thing the Lord comes. I 622. Convenience for you, please stand. We'll sing the song before. That brings us the lesson. The lesson is about telling the story of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to sing songs to this song. So I want to sing all three verses of this song to give us an idea of what the lesson is about. Sing all three verses, 622.
Tell me the story of Jesus.
But yes, we still have a large.
our study, as Tim already mentioned, you didn't steal my thunder, but kind of, that song we just sang, tell me the story of your Jesus. Well, I got thinking about that this week. I love a good story. Now, I'm sure you guys have read a good book. I remember as kids, when kids were young, and I would make up stories. I said, tell us a story. I just tell some story. But the greatest story that we're going to talk about today is what we just finished singing about, the story of Jesus. A little different angle. I'll tell you something about the story of Jesus. Number one, it's a true story. You know, it's interesting that they have movies, and sometimes, you know, Debbie and I, we watch a movie and all, you know, on Netflix or something like that. Hey, this is based on a true story. You just got to have a different perspective on watching something that's based on something that's true as opposed to something that's fiction. And so if we talk about the story of Jesus, folks, this is a true story. We're not making this stuff up. Back in the book of Genesis, first verse, in the beginning, God. John 1:1. That's, we can all quote, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. You move down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. When we talk about the story of Jesus, and I want to tell you about the story of Jesus, I'm not going to tell you something you don't already know. We sang about His life just a few moments ago. But to me, it is so important that people understand that everything we talk about when it comes to the life of Jesus, the story of Jesus, is factual. I have a line at the end of this outline. Debbie kind of smiled when I told her about it. And I'll repeat it back then. But at the end of this sermon, I say, the book is better. Now, you know you've seen movies and you say, the book is better. Well, in the story of Jesus, the book is better. And the reason why is because people can make movies, they can write commentaries, but I tell you, nothing is more accurate than the Word of God itself when it comes to the life of Jesus, because everything we have here is absolutely correct. There is nothing in here that is not inspired. God breathed, what that means. You know where I'm going. 2 Timothy. It's a passage that probably most of us here, when we become Christians, it's one of the first passages we memorize. I know it was with me, because it was quoted so much to me, and I just, okay, I'm just going to have to quote it too. In 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why Timothy was told in verse 2 of the next chapter, preach the word. We don't want to come here and preach our opinions. You don't want to go somewhere where they're preaching opinions and telling a bunch of just man-made stories. You want people just going to preach the word of God to me, because you know what? This is reliable. This is a true story. We don't make this stuff up. Well, how did it all happen? How do you have such confidence? Well, the confidence I had is talked about over there in John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14, Jesus himself said this to his followers. He knew he was going to die. That's why he came. And he says in verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And then you go to the 16th chapter, verse 13. There he says, you'll be guided into all the truth. All the truth. You know, I can remember telling the kids a story, and they'll go, is that true, Dad? No, I can't. But you know, when it comes to the Word of God, is that true? Absolutely every word of this is true. It's accurate. And so we want to tell people about the story of Jesus. They're not going to be Can I tell you about Jesus? Be friends with me. Please tell us. invented their own God. All letter G, I know that. They're all around. But the Jesus that we're talking about and that speaks about in the Scripture, it's true. Now, if you followed along in the song that we sang, tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. The third stanza mentioned the concept that this story is a love story. Now, guys, don't get turned off by that. It is a love story. That's what it's all about. If you want to know about Jesus, the heart of it is love. Tony just took us around the table to remind us of the death of Jesus. Folks, you can't talk about the death of Jesus without understanding the meaning of it. He wants us to remember his death. Well, why do you want us to remember his death? Why would you want us to remember his life? Why did he even come here in the first place? It was all because of love. John 3:16, that all of us know, that God loved the world, is what it said. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's all about love. He cares for you. He cares for you. There's nothing bad about that. It's great. And as a matter of fact, it's a love that's really hard to comprehend. You know, we see a love story on TV, a movie, and we can relate to that. You know, some of us say, oh, I need to be more romantic. But when you read about this kind of love, it's pretty hard to comprehend. I mean, I can get a husband buying flowers. I can get a husband buying his wife something. I can get the wife buying her husband a new set of clothes. I get the idea of how he can kind of make her smile and get that good feeling in the heart, you know. And there's not anything that you couldn't hear that you might say, well, if I had enough money, I could do that too. Not this. Romans chapter 5, he tells us in verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for who? He died for the ungodly. You get that? Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone even dared to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I've said it before, it's just really hard for me to understand. It's not perfect with God and Jesus in this illustration, but the idea is that if I hurt Warren so much, could you imagine if it was like I did something so bad to him that the only way Warren could say, okay, Chuck, it's all taken care of, is if I die for you. Huh? That's the only way we can take care of this? If you died for me? Well, we know that wouldn't work in our physical realm right now with you and me, but that's the case with our God. You want to understand love? I don't understand the magnitude of love. That doesn't mean I can't appreciate it. I can somebody dying for people that blaspheme him, scourge him. You know, I can't help it when I take the Lord's Supper. I don't know what you guys do. And I'm not dictating what you have to do. I know he just wants us to remember. When I take some of that bread, you know what I think? As soon as I pop that bread in my mouth, it's not what's the texture, what does it taste like. What I think about is the scourging and the pulling the flesh out of his back. That's what I think about. I think about the price that was paid for me. And the bottom line is, he simply did this because of love. This is a love story when we talk about Jesus. Open your Bibles to 1 John, near Revelation. 1 John chapter 4. Listen to this. He says in verse 7 beginning, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You know, really, John chapter 14, I'll make this quick point. And then John chapter, since we're there. John chapter 14, let's pick it up in verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we're understanding that when it comes to this love, it has something to do with our loyalty towards him. He loves us. We say, well, we love him while we keep his commandments. Why do we keep his commandments? Because we love him. It's a story about love. I mean, people say, oh, yeah, it's all about rules. Do this and don't do that. Well, it's all about love. You do it because you love him. A person says, I love the Lord and walks away and doesn't serve the Lord. There's something missing there. But, move down in the same chapter, verse 21, he says, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake because they do not him, they don't know him. Oh, excuse me. I'll get there in a moment. Chapter 14 and verse 21. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself. All about that. And so that's not something that you're ashamed of or embarrassed to talk about. And then, of course, he mentioned that in chapter 15 and in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And he continues on. Love that God has for us, Jesus has, and the love that we are to have. Why? Because the third point I want to share with you, as you open up your Bible to Ephesians, the first chapter, it has you in the story. You know that there are certain books now, I find myself going to them, the kids' books, you got grandchildren, and they have these storybooks where you can even order them, where you can insert your grandchild's name in. And not only that, you can actually have it where you can read the story. It'll take your voice, and you can be reading the story. It's your voice. It opens up the book, and here it is, your voice reading the story. I mean, talk about making the story personal. How would you like to open up the Bible? It says right there. And Seth, when you go to the brother, you didn't mention your name? How would you like that? I mean, kids like that. Don't the kids like it? I used to do that. I make up a story. I'm the two children. Mama's name, God. You want to get them involved in it. The story of Jesus. True, it's about love, and you're in it. And you'd love to be in it. Pretty much to be in a movie. I guarantee you, any one of you here, that if you were an extra, you'd have us all stand around the TV. There I am. I'm standing behind that guy. That's what you do. You say, I'm in it. And wait, there goes the name tag right there. If we're in it, we can make you feel good. And I tell you, a lot of people don't understand that when it comes to the story of Jesus, that it's all about them. And so let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. It says, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, heavenly blessings in Christ. As he has chosen, get this, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now don't sit there and say to me, oh, he was talking about that particular righteous person. Or that particular righteous person. It hasn't even been lived yet. I mean, this is before the foundation of the world. The world's not even created yet, and God has already decided who. Now, was he picking your name? No. Here's what God was saying. There he is. I've got a plan. And whoever found in my son, whoever's found obedience, that's what he's talking about. But here is a plan that was put in place for you before the foundation of the world even began. God had a way to try to help you. It was mentioned in the prayers. It was mentioned in our songs also. Who is he coming to help? Matthew 9. No, people wonder sometimes with the teaching of the Word of God.
Who me? Well, who not?
I mean, of course it's for you. Is there somebody more deserving out there of the gospel than you? Think about that. You're sitting here in this audience today. Is this message for somebody else other than you? Is it more important? Is somebody else's name mentioned more important than you? Is there somebody else in this audience that you think, that applies to Chuck more than it applies to me? That applies to Kelsey more than me. What are you talking about? Anything that we read about in the scriptures here, when it applies to you, it's equal. Right across the board. So with our previous point, who does God love more? Who's more involved in this? You say, well, Chuck, I think Abraham was more involved. I think Peter was more involved. I think Paul was more involved. Oh, well, they're out there, of course. They were just accountable to the word as you and I are. They were loved just as much as you and I. You get that? You get that? This plan that was in mind before the foundation of the world wasn't just for the apostles. This one for those righteous people that lived even under the old law. In Matthew chapter 9. So who is this all for? Well, if you back up a little bit, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, as he passed from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, follow me, and he rose and followed him. Verse 10 of Matthew 9. And so it was, as Jesus sat at the table in his house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why did your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So Jesus came to save the sick. Who's that? He doesn't play favorites, folks. He wants everyone. We're all part of the story. We're all part of the story. And someday, as Marge mentioned in his prayer, and someday, you know, with that story, we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to give an account. Every one of us. It's not saying, okay, those who are part of the early church stand over here. Those who are the tribe of Judah over here. No. Everybody. And so when I think about this great story, the story of Jesus, it's for everybody. And it includes everyone. Who is the no one of John 14? Who is that? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through. Who's the no one? That's right. No one. No one. Hey, well, what about those of the Old Testament? Same thing. We're actually going to get in that Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and he deals with that in verse 15. Jesus died even for those under the Old Testament. As long as they adhered to the laws that they lived under at that time. But really, Jesus died and his blood flowed both ways. If you take Jesus out of the way, nobody goes away. Nobody. Jesus died for everything. But that was the law that they were under, the law that we're under today. Today is the gospel. Yes. And we're expected to. But see, it includes all of them. And I know that because of the commission in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. But Chuck, what about those who reject it? Did I just waste my time with that? Well, the gospel is for them. Now, if somebody doesn't want it, don't cast your pearl before swine. But the point is, don't say to yourself, the gospel's not for them because Jesus died for everybody. He died for you and he died for me. So folks, what I'm trying to get you to see. Tell me the story of Jesus. Okay, I'll tell you the story about Jesus. Okay, it's true. It's a love story. But it includes you. You're in the story. So I don't want to be in the story. You know, somebody came in here. We're doing an extra here in Newburgh. Who wants to be in the movie? You're like, I don't want to. Keep that camera. I don't want to be. You can't say that. You can't say, I don't want to be in this story. You're in the story, folks. You're in it. He died for you. Now, you can reject him if you want. But there's no way you can escape that reality. Or, I want to tell you the story about Jesus. But like any story, Matthew chapter 7, you have your turn. So, I'm man, I tell you, there are people out there, they love to tell you a bad movie. Oh, this is a good movie. You get your all kinds of critics out there. Doesn't matter what it is. Some people make a living at that. And you have your critics concerning the story of Peter. There'll be those who, they just don't like it. It needs to be rewritten. I've read the first draft. I don't like it. I don't like the idea that God is he, it should be she. It could be anything. I don't like the idea when it says a man can't marry a man. I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea that Jesus died and purchased his church. He said, I'm going to build my church. Why does that have to be his church? I want to have my church. You know, everybody thinks, no, I want Chuck's church. I can make you feel good. I don't like some of that stuff. And so let's rewrite it. And you know what? People have rewritten everything. They've rewritten the Bible. You can find Bibles. I tell you, I studied with a guy not too long ago, and he actually came up to me and said, Chuck, you know, that verse is not my Bible. Said, oh, yeah, they were written that. There's certain passages they just take right out of it. And so you're going to have the critics out there, and reason knew that, and our Lord knew that. Our Lord understood that. In Matthew chapter 7, let's pick it up. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and are there many that go in by it, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly there are ravenous wolves. Well, who's that? Well, people don't like that. Why did you have the Sadducees and the Pharisees? There were religious leaders during the time of Jesus, weren't there? And so they're just basically saying, don't listen to him, listen to me. What I have is better than what he's offering. And you have that today. I'm down here in the religion. Well, people that are looking for truth, you gotta feel sorry for them. Somebody. I have more confidence in God because God just received the fight. So I don't care where you live on the face of this earth. If you want truth, you can find it. Jesus promised. He'll make a way for you to find the truth somewhere else. He'll make this person knows it. You can find the truth. He'll make it possible if you really have that desire. But there are so many people that do not want it. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, people say, it's just impossible. No, it's not possible to find. It's not impossible. People say, Chuck, that's your interpretation. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is a story of Jesus. You're going to have the critics out there who say, that's your interpretation. No, don't listen to that. Why? Because you have people that Paul warned about in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says in verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They actually want to hear lies. Who wants to hear lies? People that don't want to hear the truth. I don't want to hear that story. I don't like that verse. It's funny how people, you know, you just have their desires. I've actually heard songs that are remakes, and I've liked the remake better than the original. Maybe it's just me. There's certain, I'm just talking about secular songs. There's certain, you know, it comes out, you know, I think it's every 20 years, an artist will allow them to take a song and do what he wants with it. I think it's based on a lot of people. Anyway, the point is, I like remakes sometimes. Sometimes I like the original more. You don't like the original. Stay with the original. Well, this is for sure. Don't tamper with it. Don't change it. And there are people come along and say, well, no, we can change this. That. Jesus knew that this was what was going to happen. One more verse before we go to our last point. We're very patient this morning. Quickly turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Listen to what Jesus said. He knew this was going to happen. Even though he loves everybody, he cares for one another. Wants us to care for one another. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34, he says, Don't think this. Why did you say that? People will think it. Don't think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to send a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of it. There it is. You're going to find somebody who's like, I don't like this. It happens in our world. I don't like that. I'm going to my office. I don't like it. Well, Same thing within a family. Same thing. I don't like what you're standing for. I don't like that you're doing that.
God comes first.
And it will create problems. I get that. We talked about in our study this morning how you can have a close friendship broken because one wants to stand for what he's doing. Anyway, so that was it. It has its critics. Now here's the last one. Kind of, there's an exception. Story of Jesus. The story of Jesus has a happy ending. Not sure about yours or my ending just yet. I could turn my back on the Lord. I don't want to do that. But as of right now, when we talk about the life of Jesus, it has a happy ending. Because of what Jesus said over in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, he says in verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, scribes, and be killed. That doesn't sound good. Well, do the rest of it. After 3 days, rise again. Well, let's not forget that part. That's the prophecy of the Old Testament with the serpent. Man, you're gonna hit, bruise his heel. It's gonna look like you had victory. You had Jesus killed. But I'll tell you this one: Jesus resurrected. I love John chapter 19. John 19, verse 15. It says, and they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to him, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and let him go. We know what happened later on in the chapter. We know in the next chapter, chapter 20, verse 19 specifically. The same day after evening began the first day of the week when the doors were shut. Disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Three more. Folks, I love a happy ending. There's been the odd movie that I just got up and discussed by saying, what, that's it? No happy ending here. He dies in the end? Who wants that? Guy doesn't get the girl? That's not right. And so people just don't have a happy ending. I like a happy ending. And here's a happy ending. Oh, it didn't look like it. And the movies today, they do you. They do that. They play your emotions, don't they? They get you like, oh, no, this is sad. This is, oh, no, don't come back. Turn back. Oh. Same story. He's died. He's on the cross. What are you going to do now? Get yourself. If you're the Christ, get yourself down. Come on, get down. I mean, let's do it. He actually died. He dies on the cross. But don't walk out yet because he resurrects. And that's the good news, because when he resurrected in John chapter 1 and verses 9, when he ascended back into heaven, they were told, why are you standing here? He's going to come back. But I'll tell you what's so great about that happy ending concerning the story of Jesus. Now remember, this was the story of Jesus. You're part of the story. It has a happy ending with him. But it's his happy ending that can make it possible for you to have a happy ending. Get that? Because of Jesus and him having a happy ending with how that he resurrected from the dead makes it possible now for you and I to have a happy ending with our life. Know where I'm going with this? Because of his death. He's writing to Christians, reminding them of what they did. Verse 3, do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. Here it is. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. If we've been united together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. What? I have to die? Yes, because Jesus died. But you know what? If Jesus didn't resurrect, your baptism doesn't go down. You need to rise up in newness of life. There's your happy ending? Well, not quite yet. That's the beginning. Because Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful till death. Becoming a child of God is a wonderful thing. Being born again, a person who believes in Jesus and is willing to confess and repent and then be baptized for the remission of their sins. That's in verse 7. The Lord adds them to this body. There's a person who's truly happy. But the story's not over. It's not over. take our last breath. When will that be? Life is uncertain. I don't know if we'll see you again. But it can be a happy departure of knowing that we can see each other again in your righteous ability. And I want you to think about it. This was the story of Jesus. You're part of that story. And that's why we love to talk about it. People in this world don't understand. Why are you talking about the death of Jesus? What a depressing thing to talk about. That's victory, folks. That's victory. He conquered death. He made it possible. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. It's all because of Jesus. Folks, do you believe it is true? It's true. Don't accept the grace of the next. Come and obey him. You're not a Christian. Become one today. If you have questions about it, we'll sit down. We'll talk with you about it. Your child of God that's gone away, you need to come back. Be right with the Lord. If we can help you in any way, let it be known that we stand together and sing the song.
Oh, for Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me now, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee, fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Thanks for being here today, worshiping God with us. Thanks, Chuck, for a blessing, a story that we can all identify with, that Jesus and his relationship to us. If we're a Christian, that if we're not, we need to have that relationship. I'd like to invite you back at 4 o'clock this afternoon if you're able to come back with us and to also hear God's Word preached again. So if you have the opportunity, please come back at 4 o'clock again this afternoon. We'll now be led in our closing word.
I'm sorry. Okay, no problem. I'll take care of it.
Take care of that tonight, Mark.